You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Canadiens Connection Podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. We're coming at you every single week to talk about the Montreal Canadiens, keeping you informed, engaged, entertained every 52 weeks of the year. We're always here, and we're so glad that you're here with us as well. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm your host for today's show, which is episode 387. Rumors and reality, noise or opportunity for the Montreal Canadiens. Ooh, sounds mysterious. Rumors and reality, opportunities. What could we be talking about? Well, we're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, let me say hello and welcome into the studio my wonderful co-host. He's our editor-in-chief and founder here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. I guess first I need, before we get to that, happy Valentine's Day, because it is actually Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you and to all of our listeners.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Hope you all are having a lovely day.
Absolutely.
See what I did there? Mm-hmm. So clever.
Yuri Slavkovsky's having a lovely day.
He's having a lovely tournament.
Even with the loss, he's having a lovely day.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Rumors and reality.
Lots of smoke.
Is there fire?
Mm-hmm. That's the question.
Trade deadline is coming up. We talked about some potentials for the Canadiens last week with the trade deadline, but as happens at this time every year, you can't go a day without some new speculation coming up or a new insider reporting some new information that they may be heard from a source or two. So we need to revisit a little bit of that and update that and take a look at what's getting to be maybe more probable, less likely for Kent Hughes to do. What tricks does he have up his sleeve? We're going to examine all of that today.
So while Canadiens fans are focused on Yuri Slavkovsky and Nick Suzuki, Alexander Texier, Oliver Kapanen in Italy, don't worry, we got you covered. We're paying attention to what's going on in Montreal and this side of the pond.
That's right. That, of course, is all going to come in our second segment when we tackle our big topic of the week. Before we get to that, though, we're going to get you caught up on the week that was for the Habs and their prospects in our first segment, which is our week in review. And, of course, that means it's a little bit of the Olympic highlight reel for us this week. We're not going to take a game by game for each country that a Canadiens player is representing, but we are going to get you fully caught up on how all four Habs players who are participating in the Olympics have performed in the games that they have played so far. Then we are also going to get you caught up on just a little bit of roster news when it comes to the Montreal Canadiens. Plenty to talk about on the prospect report for you this week. So that's in our first segment. That's going to, aside from the Olympic update, our prospect report is going to be where we have a lot of news for you and some updates on a number of Habs prospects, including the Laval Rocket, including the AHL All-Star events that took place last week. Lots to catch you up on there. And then in our third segment, our final segment, of course, that's when we let you have your say. We've got some great responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. And so we picked out our best responses from that, and we're going to read those out to everyone. And we have a brand new question for you this week. So get your thinking caps ready, get those texting thumbs warmed up and ready to submit your responses, because it'll be an interesting one. That's for sure. So let's kick things off with a little Olympic talk. You know, I don't know about you, Rick. I don't know about everyone listening and watching, but I've thoroughly enjoyed the first week of the Olympics so far. I do get the Olympic fever, winter or summer games. I just really enjoy being able to hop around and just get, you know, a little bit of, you know, 30 minutes of this kind of just sports at, you know, their peak ability. I was watching biathlon, speed skating, a little bit of super G, a little bit of, you know, curling.
Curling
lots
got
of controversy.
Spicy.
It's, curling
got
is spicy. Team Canada, Team Sweden, looking at you. Americans getting a silver in mixed doubles for curling, which was pretty fun. Yeah, the games have been pretty fun to watch so far. But
hockey is where the focus is at.
Well, yeah. And the hockey has not disappointed. The hockey has not disappointed, particularly since we kicked off the games with Slovakia slamming down Finland with a 4-1 defeat.
There was an upset.
Oh my goodness. Juraj Slafkovský picking up right where he left off the last time he participated in the Olympic Games.
Man on a mission. He was a beast.
He's just having quite a tournament. We're going to get to that in just a second. But, you know, we've had 4 days of hockey action. Canada's played twice. Finland's played 3 times already. France has played a couple times. Slovakia's played 3 times. The U.S. has only played once. They play their second game later today against Denmark. That's going to be a big one. But it's been, for the most part, very fun hockey. Definitely some heated matchups. Sweden-Finland was not friendly. And there's been some other ones that are starting to get a little testy as well. In terms of the Canadians, let's start with the four representatives. Let's start with Team Canada, who are, knock on wood, thus far undefeated, winning both of their games that they've played, shutting out the Czechs 5-0 and then beating Switzerland 5-1. Nick Suzuki is the Habs representative on that team. How's he looked so far?
Nick Suzuki in the first game picked up a goal. He almost had two goals in that game, but one waved off due to icing and offside. I have to say, even though he got that goal, I've not liked Nick Suzuki on the wing. Nick Suzuki is a natural center. Nick Suzuki is used to playing a lot of minutes down in the lineup, playing, you know, 13 minutes a game thereabouts. Mm-hmm. And he's in the two games, one goal, and is a plus one. He was on the right wing with Nathan MacKinnon and Brandon Hagel, and then John Cooper made his changes in that second game for Canada against the Swiss team. And Cooper put together that super line, Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, Macklin Celebrini, who looked unbeatable. They were amazing. And that brought Nick Suzuki back into the center position. He's with Hagel and Wilson. We'll see where he ends up in Canada's third game. But I think he's more comfortable at center and has looked better in the tournament there. A good start to the tournament for Nick Suzuki.
Sure. For Finland, they've not done too shabby themselves in the three games they've played, aside from, you know, that loss that they took from Slovakia to open the tournament. Oliver Kapanen, of course, playing for Team Finland. So far, it's been a very quiet tournament for Oliver Kapanen.
Let's be honest, Oliver Kapanen being named to the team was his achievement.
Yeah.
He's 22 years old. He's the youngest player on the Finnish team. The coach is selecting him to the team. And him getting dressed, he was dressed for the game on Friday, but he was the extra forward, the 13th forward in Finland throughout the tournament. And even beyond this tournament, they dress a 13th forward, but they don't play that player. And that's what happened to him on Friday. And the same thing happened on Wednesday when Slovakia beat Finland. Joel Kiviranta was the 13th forward. He was dressed, did not have a shift. Same thing happened to Kapanen on Friday. And then he wasn't scratched. He was a scratch against Italy, where Finland set a record. It was 11-0 was the game. They set the record for the most goals by any team in a single game during the Olympics with NHL players. The previous had been 9, so they got 11. But like we say, Oliver Kapanen being named to the team is an achievement on its own. And Finland, other than that upsetting loss, to the Slovaks have come back with two wins. I know it's not the Montreal Canadiens don't have a goaltender, in the Olympics and don't have one for Canada. I just want to say, that Team Canada, there's a lot of concern about Team Canada's goaltending. That's been reduced a little bit, although, I mean, the Canadiens still have to face some tough teams. But Logan Thompson didn't look great. Jordan Binnington, much better, I think, and is likely to go on the rest of the series. The other impressive player for me on Team Canada has been Thomas Harley. He was dressed as the extra defenseman, got pressed into service. Josh Morrissey got injured. Thomas Harley's been great on defense.
Definitely.
Just wanted to add that.
Team France, where Alexander de Texier is there wearing an A, I might add. Team France struggling a little bit. Not necessarily a giant surprise there, given the competition. But Texier has participated in both games that France has played, despite the fact that they have not come up with a win.
No points, -3, but playing a ton. 22 minutes of ice time on the second line for France.
Definitely. Really, the story of the teams, particularly for Habs representatives, is Team Slovakia, who have absolutely kind of taken this tournament by storm. They have a 2-0-1-0 record. As I said, they kind of stomped on Finland with a big upset to open the tournament. Beat the Italians in a very tight game, 3-2, and then dropped. Dropped an early morning Valentine's Day matchup against Sweden in what was a very tight game through two periods, like the first half of the game. And then things opened up for Sweden after that. Things got a little weird. We'll talk about that in a minute. First, let's just talk about how Juraj Slafkovský is once again the talk of the tournament.
Yeah. Three goals, 3 assists, 6 points in 3 games, playing 20 minutes on average a game. He's on the top line with Adam Ruzicka and Tomas Tatar for Slovakia. And as you say, he's been the talk of the tournament. He's tied for the points in the point standings.
With just Connor McDavid.
With Connor McDavid, yeah. Not too
just Connor,
shabby.
Yeah.
And Slovakia have qualified for the quarterfinals, and they will play on Wednesday, I believe, is their game.
The great thing about how this game ended today, so it was quite obvious in the third that it didn't look like Slovakia was going to come back. They were down 5-2 against Sweden. They managed, Juraj Slafkovský set up
Ivan Dvorsky.
Dalibor Dvorsky. For a third goal for Slovakia very, very late in the game. There was just a few minutes left in the game. And why was that a big deal? Why was that a big celebration? And just a couple of minutes later, we see Team Sweden up 5-3, but they pull their goaltender, not Slovakia. Sweden pulls their goaltender for the extra attacker, trying to prevent Slovakia from scoring any more goals because Group B, I think that's Group B that they're in, is so tight that it was going to come down to a tiebreaker, which meant goal differential. And the fact that Slovakia, Slafkovský setting up Dvorsky to score that third goal was a huge upset in the goal differential count. And when the game was over, Sweden had won. They look like they had just lost their dog. And Juraj Slafkovský literally punching his fist in the air in pure excitement as Team Slovakia looked like they just won gold.
Yeah. Dvorsky said it was the best loss of my life. Slafkovský said, I've never celebrated so much after a loss. It was an odd scene, and
it was crazy.
Yeah. It was kind of, and listen, there's, you know, you have to keep up with these things. The Olympics don't follow the NHL rules. Here we got 3 points for a regulation win, and the officiating is a little bit different. There's NHL officials, referees and linesmen in this, but we've seen even goaltender interference. Not that we understand NHL goaltender interference rules, but there are different IIHF rules at play here. So things have been different, and this was certainly, the way this game ended up was certainly odd, to say the least.
It was thrilling. I've never in my life seen it was very odd to watch the team that was ahead in the goal count pulling their goaltender. It was like you were in the Twilight Zone. It was very odd. And when Team USA plays later on today, goal differential is going to be a big factor there as well, because Canada has, you know, like a +9 right now. And I believe if the U.S. can't match that or beat that by the time they're done this second game, then you're looking at who's playing Sweden in the quarterfinals. And oh, boy.
But great news for Canadians fans. We know that Nick Suzuki with Team Canada will be in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
We know that Juraj Slafkovský with Slovakia will be in the quarterfinals.
Yeah. So it's going to be, there's a lot at stake, and Habs players are absolutely making it happen. So stay tuned for more excitement over the course of the next week, because I think it's going to ramp up even more. So that's, you know, the games that have happened since we've been gone. Just as a reminder for the Canadians, don't forget, they are still sitting, when they come back, with 72 points. They're still sitting in second place in the Atlantic Division, sixth overall in the NHL. They are in a playoff spot, so there is that to look forward to when they come back as well. They're up to 82.7% chance of making the playoffs.
Very good chance of making the playoffs, as long as, but in a very tight, a tight division, and they have a difficult schedule going ahead. But all things being equal, they're in a very good spot right now to have some spring playoff play.
Definitely. Just a reminder that the Canadians aren't permitted to hold formal practices during the Olympic break. However, players can casually and unofficially gather on their own, and that has absolutely happened at Brossard this past week.
Yeah, we've seen a handful of players skating. Jake Evans was out, Kirby Dock, Ivan Nemedov, David Savard in goal.
Okay.
that's been fun. But yes, the Canadians will continue to skate formally, but, and we'll talk about this later, formal practices are due to get back on track this upcoming week.
Definitely. All right, let's, as I mentioned at the top of the show, there's a lot to talk about with the prospects, so let's touch on the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
So we're not just highlighting one prospect this week. We've got four of them because the Habs kids are really starting to do things. Let's start in the NCAA, Providence College. That would be left winger Logan Sawyer. This past week, he played two games and had 4 points, 2 goals and 2 assists.
Yeah, Logan Sawyer maybe is a prospect that doesn't get enough attention. I've seen a couple of articles on him recently, and he's due that attention. He's already eclipsed his point total from last year. Last year, it was 16 points in 37 games. This year, in just 28 games, he already has 24 points. That's 12 goals and 12 assists. He was a third-round pick in 2024, and he has he's one of the prospects. We heard Michael Hage had spent a lot of time last summer putting on weight. Well, Logan Sawyer is another one. He was listed at 6'1". About 170, and he's bumped that up. He's close now to 6'3" and almost 200 pounds. So he's growing into his frame. And in addition to the offense, I've talked about the points. He's one of those players that's got a real plays with an edge. Mm-hmm. He's got a high compete level. I think this is a prospect that an underrated prospect that you're going to be hearing more about.
On the defensive side of things, let's head over to the KHL, to Torpedo Nizhny Novgorod. That is defenseman Bogdan Konyushkov. He wears an A, actually, this year for them in the KHL. And he had a three-point night on Thursday.
Had a goal and 2 assists on Thursday night. Has 30 points on 6 goals and 24 assists in 56 games. And he was a fourth round pick in 2023 for the Canadians.
Wonderful. You can't have a prospect report lately without talking about Michael Hage, also playing in the NCAA for Michigan. They were facing off against Penn State. 3 assists on Friday night for Michael Hage, plus
the shootout winner.
Okay.
Yeah, University of Michigan beat Penn State 5-4 in the shootout, and it was Michael Hage reaching that 40-point plateau on 12 goals and 28 assists.
Finally, with the young prospects, talking about the KHL again, let's talk about Alexander Zhirovsky playing for Salavat. Just no big thing. He's just breaking KHL records.
Well, we talked before about his trajectory and comparing it to Ivan Demidov, and he now, with an assist on Friday night, has broke the KHL under-19 point record in 45 games this year. He has 13 goals, 24 assists for 37 points.
Wonderful. For the Laval Rocket, let's switch to the AHL. First, we'll mention last Saturday's game, Jacob Fowler in net making 22 saves, Laval beating the Cleveland Monsters 4-1. Florian Jacki just getting a little bit of the
17 penalty minutes.
Just getting a little extra energy out before the All-Star break. Yeah, 17 penalty minutes for Florian. Then, of course, the league went on the All-Star Classic break. That was Tuesday night and Wednesday night. It was in Rockford, Illinois, the Rockford Ice Hogs. Remember, Lavelle had four representatives. Pascal Vincent was there as the coach of the North Division team. Jacob Fowler was there. Laurent Dauphin was there. Adam Engstrom was there.
And if you forget who was there representing the Lavelle Rocket, you just, as you pointed out, had to check Jacob Fowler's All-Star mask.
You had mentioned last week, you had talked about his special mask that he had made for the All-Star game and the fact that I think on his
backplate,
that instead of the Florida license plate, he's changed to a Quebec license plate on his backplate. And I took a look at it and I realized, I'm like, wait, there's three faces above the license plate on his backplate. And I was like, who? Wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. I love this. Jacob Fowler honoring the three other gentlemen who were joining him at the All-Star game, putting Pascal Vincent, Laurent Dauphin, and Adam Engstrom's headshots on the back of his backplate on his mask.
Who does that?
I've never seen a goaltender that, like, these are my guys. These are the guys that are here with me at this All-Star game. I don't ever want to forget that. Like, I thought that was really cool.
Brilliant. He's a team guy. He's a leader. It was a great move.
Yeah, really love that. Unfortunately, he didn't get to show it off.
It was a surprise announcement by the Laval Rocket that he would not be participating in the All-Star Classic due to an upper body injury. He was there, but not participating.
And he had played on Saturday night. And he played on Friday when Laval started up game action again. So who knows? But he did not get to participate, unfortunately. Will mentioned that the Eastern Conference, they won the skills competition. It was the Pacific Division this year who won the actual All-Star game. So congratulations to everyone who got a chance to go and participate.
Some offense from Adam Engstrom. Yeah. I expect that Chris G will be including a look at the All-Star. Well, at least the Laval's participation in the All-Star Classic in his article coming out on Monday.
On HockeyHotStove.com.
HockeyHotStove.com.
Over on the Canadians coverage at HockeyHotStove.com. So for Laval, I mentioned last Saturday they beat Cleveland 4-1 before the All-Star break. After the All-Star break was done, Hershey came to town on Friday night. This is not the Hershey Bears of the last number of years that were big contenders. Laval put a hurtin' on them. 6-1 defeat over Hershey. Sean Farrell with the game-winning goal. Jacob Fowler back in net again, coming up with 23 saves. So they're on a six-game winning streak right now. Their record is 30-14-2-2. They are still first in the North Division, fifth overall in the AHL. They are having another knockout season.
Just 24 games remaining in their schedule now.
So they play Toronto Saturday afternoon. They play in Toronto on Monday afternoon, and then they play against Rochester next Friday. Those are the next three games up for Laval. Trois-Rivières still continuing on. They're still just kind of struggling to find some footing this season. They are sixth overall in the North Division, 23rd overall in the ECHL, but they've still got some runway to work with. So let's see if they can.
Good news. They had a 2-0 shutout of the Railers on Friday night.
Well, so that's good.
That's positive.
We like that. One last general hockey note before we take our first break here on Canadians Connection. In terms of the Winter Olympics, Gary Bettman participated in a media conference this week, talking about how the NHL has more, better, improved, whatever word you want to use, Olympic content access this time around in Milan than they have in previous Olympics that the NHL players participated in.
And
I say, what, really?
To set the context, if the NHL is shutting down for a couple of weeks, they are sending, oh, I don't know, $1 billion worth of players over to the Olympics. And the complaint is, and we've seen it all over, that what is the league getting out of this? You know, the players look great, the games are great, but what does the NHL itself get out of it? At least for Four Nations, they had total control. They had all the advertising, they had all of the video. And because the NHL and the owners have all of the risk, I mean, we saw that with Kevin Fiala, and now his season's over. You know, the question is always asked, what benefit is there? And Seth Rohrbaugh, he's a beat writer for the Penguins, I believe. He pointed out that you can't even, if you go to NHL.com, you can see the scores there of the games, the Olympic hockey games, but there's no game reports, there's no statistics, there's no video highlights, there's nothing. And he says, I don't get what the NHL gets out of participating. Plenty of risk, but no tangible benefit. And you have to agree with that. You know, why didn't the NHL negotiate to get stats? Why didn't the NHL negotiate to get video clips? And this interview by Gary Bettman this week is, you know, well, as you said, the bar of low expectations. Mm. Gary said, I do believe that both the IOC and the IIHF have been a tad more flexible in terms of the things we can do. he said, with respect to intellectual property and how the games are covered so that we don't completely disappear for a couple of weeks. Bettman pointed to players being able to create their own social media content as participating athletes and the NHL's ability to repost it. So the NHL have permission that if their players create content, they can share it. That's it. That's all they have. And that to Gary is a win, and as he calls it, and the word he used was tad more flexible. The issue, and I'm not going to lay it all at the feet of Gary Bettman here. A lot of this comes down to Marty Walsh and the Players Association, because during the negotiations of the most recent CBA, that was their number one priority. Was being back in the Olympics. And it's kind of like the Panarin situation where there was nothing to negotiate on. You know, the Rangers had nothing to negotiate because there was only one destination. Here, Bettman has difficulty negotiating with the IOC and the IIHF because they know that the players have demanded as part of their CBA that they must be back at the Olympics. So there's not really much leverage that the NHL has here to try and get more access to information that their fans want. And even us as reporting on this, it's not easy. The Olympic site is terrible.
Try getting stats.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No.
So anyway, we just thought that was interesting to share, that Gary kind of feels he's trying to put trying to put lipstick on a pig here.
I was going to say it if you didn't. Baby steps, I suppose. Baby steps. All right. We're going to take a quick break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. We have a brand new message from our sponsors over at DraftKings for you. So be sure to check that out and stick around because coming up in our big topic segment, it is speculation season, reading the signals around the Montreal Canadiens. lots to sink our teeth into. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for the fastest game on ice. With player props and live betting, every shift, every shot, every save gives you options to get in on the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. And hey, new customers, if you bet just $5 and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name's Amy Johnson with my wonderful co-host Rick Stevens here in the studio. Feel free, you're invited to follow either one of us or both of us on X. My handle is at Flyers Rule. Rick's handle is at Rocket Sports. That's our main Twitter account for everything we do here at Rocket Sports Media. So be sure you're following that one. You can also follow this podcast in particular at Habs Connection, at Habs Connection. And that's not just on Twitter. It's on Facebook and Instagram as well. One thing we want to make sure you've done, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. You don't ever want to miss an episode of the Canadians Connection podcast, whether you are listening on Apple, on Spotify, if you're watching on YouTube, however you are consuming the podcast, your favorite way to do that, just tap subscribe. We don't ever want you to miss an episode. So, you know, as Rick mentioned in the first segment, this week, Habs fans, their focus is completely basically on Milan and the things, you know, that the four Habs Olympians are doing over there. Obviously, Juraj Slafkovský is capturing all of the headlines because he is just having a phenomenal tournament. 10 goals in 10 Olympic games over the span of his Olympic career so far. That's really great. And we mentioned that there's been a smattering of other players showing up in Brassard to practice and just kind of keep their skates sharpened and that kind of thing. But really, other than that, there's precious little activity going on in Montreal that grabs the attention of Habs fans, as it should be. Everybody's kind of quiet there. But while things feel quiet on the surface, we are fully in the season of the phone calls, the leverage, the posturing, the chess match that, you know, general managers are playing with each other, because the trade deadline is right around the corner. For the Canadians, attention always seems to get focused on the Canadians around trade deadline time. Kent Hughes has really built a reputation for being patient, but also being unpredictable, but also being just aggressive enough to kind of keep everybody guessing. He really kind of does his own thing, not what everyone else wants him to do, not necessarily what other people expect him to do. And so everyone right now is kind of starting to brew all of those, you know, rumors and rumblings. Is something going on? Are the Canadians positioning themselves to make a move? Is he, you know, quietly busy working the phones while everybody else is, you know, speculating and, oh, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And I heard so-and-so say this was going to happen. Really, the most important question right now for Canadians fans, if there is smoke, in the rumor mill of the Canadians at the trade deadline. If there is smoke, is there actually fire this time? Because, Rick, we have seen some quiet trade deadlines from Kent Hughes in recent years. And so this week we need to kind of dig into the noise, and that noise is getting louder each week as we creep closer to the trade deadline, and kind of sort through what the realities are, what the opportunities are, and what makes sense now and going forward.
And things are going to start to happen very quickly while we're focused on the medal round of men's hockey at the Olympics. Things are going to be happening this upcoming week. We had talked about, you know, a handful of players here and there skating on their own. Well, full practices are going to resume this upcoming week. We know that the full practices will start after 2 p.m. local on February 17th. The schedule is going to start a week later than that on the 25th. We're only a week away, 8 days away, from the trade freeze coming to an end. And then March 6th is the trade deadline. So in terms of the Montreal Canadiens, they're going to have practices, and then they're going to have three games against at the Bell Center against the Islanders, against the Capitals, and then a road game against the San Jose Sharks. Things are going to happen quickly. And so the question is, you know, we've heard from Jeff Gorton saying we want to be aggressive. We will be aggressive if we need to be aggressive. And Jeff Gorton always also saying we don't know what the opportunities are going to be that are presented to us. So what are the opportunities? What are the possibilities? And what has been the speculation? We're going to catch up on all of that.
So let's just remind you. We did this very briefly in the first segment, but let's fully remind you after 57 games where the Canadians are sitting right now. Their record is 32-17-8. That's good enough for 72 points. They are second in the Atlantic Division, sixth overall in the NHL, on pace for 103 points. Not too shabby.
So the type of trades, there's going to be trades for now. There's going to be trades for the future. There's going to be trades that could be good for now and the future. And I think we're going to talk about three types of trades. Of course, I think we can agree that goaltending is going to be status quo for the foreseeable future. There was some brief, you know, should the Canadians trade for a goaltender? That's not likely to happen. Dobish is going to take the lion's share as far as he can go. Montembeau, has he steadied the ship? And Fowler's going to be in Laval unless absolutely necessary. So the possibilities are that the Canadians are going to trade for a forward, they're going to trade for a defenseman, or they're going to trade to free up cap space. And let's look at them in order of how likely they might be.
Okay. So, should we remind people of what Jeff Gorton said? Jeff Gorton, well, we're going to get there in a minute. Let's talk about cap space first, because I think that's probably the most likely of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about trading for cap space, the name that is coming up quite often, and we talked about this, Rick, even before the Olympic break, how there seemed to be a little bit of not even sure what to do with him since he was healthy but wasn't playing, and that's Patrick Laine.
And the Canadians remind us, the way he was practicing, he seemed healthy to us, but the Canadians remind us that he has not yet received medical clearance. So that's the excuse that you're using for him not playing, and we have no reason to doubt them. Patrick Laine just doesn't necessarily have a place in the Canadiens lineup anymore. Could he be a help to another team? It's possible. And the teams, you know them, that have been mentioned most frequently are Edmonton and Carolina. Now for Kent Hughes to make that trade happen, he's going to have to include sweeteners, whether that's going to be a pick or a prospect, and perhaps retaining 50% of Patrick Laine's salary for the remainder of the year. All of those or some combination are possible. And I think we can safely say that Patrick Laine is likely, very likely, to be traded before the March 6th deadline.
Okay. So the next scenario that could happen that is likely, but maybe not as likely as the Patrick Laine trade, that is trading for a forward. And this week, you know, we've talked about how there are already kind of too many forwards in the organization, but we're starting to hear some of the big hockey insiders start to talk about names that are available, where they might go. And so there is not, again, likelihood not as strong as trading for cap space and a Patrick Laine trade, but there is still the potential for a trade for a forward.
And when you're talking about a trade for a forward, that need for the Montreal Canadiens has changed over the course of the season. And Jeff Gordon even alluded to that. You know, all the talk at the beginning of the season was the Canadiens need a second line center. They need a second line center who is available. Interestingly enough, before the season, Jeff Gordon said, well, you know, you could also get a winger that would drive a line. And the emergence of Oliver Kapanen has put that urgent need on hold. So now it's the Canadiens can be more flexible and look at what opportunities are out there, and maybe even more than the need for a second line center. You know, is Oliver Kapanen capable of fulfilling that role eventually? Kent Hughes says yes, that's possible. Michael Hage may be the player of the future in that role eventually. And the greater need might be on the top line, looking for a winger that could complement Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield. And the names that have come up, and we've heard them before, Ryan O'Reilly in Nashville. Nashville's kind of on the edge, but could be a seller. That comes from Elliot Friedman saying that the Canadiens are interested. James Myrtle at The Athletic said, and we know that the Rangers are in a sell-off situation, thinks there might be a good match between the Canadiens and Vincent Trocheck. Dave Pagnotta has talked ad nauseum about Jordan Kyrou from St. Louis. And that match for the Canadiens, Jordan Kyrou, not a playmaker, more of a shooter, more of a goal scorer. He's speedy. He's an offensive winger, has a little bit of trouble on the defensive side, but could be a good complement to the top line. And the other name that's been talked about a lot is Nazem Kadri. From Calgary, although, you know, with three seasons left, his age, $7 million, there's less enthusiasm about him joining the Canadiens.
Definitely. So we've got the trading for cap space, good potential that Patrick Laine gets moved. We've got trading for a forward, which perhaps not as likely, but still feasible, still definitely on the table. Trading for a defenseman, now we're starting to get a little less likely. Not to say that it couldn't happen, but a little bit less likely. I know you believe that there's if they're going to trade for a defenseman at all, there's one big need that the Canadiens have.
The Canadiens need a right shot defenseman, need a right shot physical defenseman. That's a big need, but that's difficult. Those players are coveted. Those players are expensive. That would be a very difficult trade for Kent Hughes. And as such, we've seen the carousel for the sixth defenseman. First it's Jacki, then it's Struble, and Struble, then it's Jacki. The ice time is minimal at best. We've seen Caden Gooley playing on his offside, and the hopes that David Reinbacher would somehow join the team this season have really faded given his additional injuries this season. Adam Engstrom has proven that he's a left shot defenseman, but can play on the right side. But I don't think he's ready at this point, despite having a terrific season in the AHL. So I think there's some hope, how tenuous it is by Canadiens fans, that they can go out and get a player like we see at the Olympics, at Colton Parayko, St. Louis selling off their assets. But now we're talking about, hope rather than speculation.
Definitely. And probably the least likely of all would be anything involving goaltending. Pretty much at status quo with Dobesh and Montembeau as the tandem in Montreal. Fowler will remain in Laval unless it's absolutely necessary for him to come up. So the likelihood of seeing anything happen at the goaltending level is pretty slim to none.
So we didn't go through and evaluate the players, the assets that would be going back the other way, all of those, and whether it would be good for the immediate needs or for the future. We'll leave that to you and your excitement about any potential trade deadline trades. And we just wanted to give you an overview of what, and not the wild rumors, but the rumors that are coming from the insiders and the potential match between the Canadiens and other teams.
So our question for you this week is, okay, take all of those things into consideration. Which player acquired by Kent Hughes at the NHL trade deadline moves the needle for the Montreal Canadiens? What's the player that Hughes could acquire? Who's the player that Hughes could acquire realistically that would truly move the needle for the Canadiens at this point? This is a little more of a deep thinking question. Might not have an answer right off the top of your head, but we want to know what you think. You want to send us a text to reply at 5853-ROCKET. Again, that's 5853-ROCKET. You could also leave us a comment on YouTube to reply. You could leave us a comment on Spotify if that's where you listen to the podcast. You could hit us up on social media at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram. There are a million different ways that you can send in your responses. We want to know which player acquired by Kent Hughes at the NHL trade deadline moves the needle for the Montreal Canadiens. And we're going to select the best answers that we get, whether we agree with them or not, just the best answers that we get, and read them on next week's show. And you don't want to miss that. And so you don't want to miss our next segment that's coming up in just a minute, where we take the best answers we got from last week's question of the week and share them with you. Maybe yours made the cut. And so you want to stick around. We've got one more message from our sponsors over at DraftKings, and then we will let you have your say right after this. So stay with us. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for the fastest game on ice. With player props and live betting, every shift, every shot, every save gives you options to get in on the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. And hey, new customers, if you bet just $5 and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to episode 387 of Canadians Connection right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, tap the subscribe button. Don't ever miss an episode. If you're able to leave us a thumbs up, leave us a like, leave us a review, that would be really appreciated. And hey, if you want to take your help to us just one step farther, tap that share button and share this episode with your social media followers if you're enjoying what you hear. Don't forget to send in your answers to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Which player acquired by Kent Hughes at the NHL trade deadline moves the needle for the Montreal Canadiens? Be interesting to hear what all of you have to say about that. Last week we asked the question, how should the Montreal Canadiens approach the trade deadline? Should they be patient or should they be aggressive? And we had some really interesting replies to this. We had over on YouTube at Daniel DeJong 6382 said, in my opinion, patience. Although they're good, I don't think they're ready to win the cup. Their consistency is questionable, but stranger things have happened. I would let the kids make their way up through the pipeline because talent has never been richer. So, okay, Daniel says, slow your roll, Kent Hughes. Take the foot off the gas and just be patient.
We like that. The next one comes from P. Moran Fidelt at P. Moran Fidelt on YouTube. And he is responding to the question we asked, who are you most comfortable with as the Canadiens goaltending tandem for the rest of the season? P. Moran says, great show as always. To answer your question, number one, Dobish and Fowler for sure should be the goaltending tandem. Two, Dobish should get the starting role. That way Fowler doesn't get overwhelmed and gets time to grow as a goalie. So that would be his goaltending tandem for the rest of the season. We thank P. Moran Fidelt for that comment on YouTube.
We appreciate that as well. And then we have Leonid writing in on YouTube as well. He is saying, great show and great to see familiar faces on the coaching staff. This is in response to Marco Marciano getting the promotion as goaltending coach from Laval to the Canadiens. And he's also one who loves to watch the prospects. He mentions that the AHL All-Star Game would be broadcast on TSN in Canada, NHL Network in the U.S., and Flow Hockey worldwide. A great promo, Leonid. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. We always love hearing from everyone. You know, that on last week's show, there was I think we kind of introspectively asked, we know the All-Star game is on Flow Hockey. It'll be other places as well. Leonid handing us some assistance there.
So, Leonid, if you watch the All-Star festivities, the AHL All-Star, tell us what you thought.
Definitely. We'd love to hear that. And we'd want to hear from all of you about this week's Canadians Connection question of the week, about the trade deadline. Heck, if you're even just really excited watching Slavkovsky and Suzuki at the Olympics, let us know what you're thinking about that as well. We love to hear your thoughts about the Habs in general, and particularly our question of the week. So get all of those answers in. We still have a couple of weeks to go before we get back to Habs hockey. They don't play again until the very end of the month on the 26th and the 28th. So got to wait a little bit longer for that. But you don't have to wait very long for our next episode of Canadians Connection here on the podcast, because we'll be back with a new episode next Saturday, February 21st. So don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss it. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy another terrific week of Olympic hockey. And we'll see you again next time, right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.